I'm going to talk about the fear of the Lord. And what that means is to give Him, the Lord, the place of glory, honor, reverence, thanksgiving, praise, and the preeminence that He deserves. There are some promises attached to the fear of the Lord. And the first one is found in Proverbs 9, verse 10. And this is where we read that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. In Proverbs 10, 27, the fear of the Lord lengthens one's life. How many would like a long life? Some of you are already in it. You're already experiencing a very long life. Praise the Lord. And others have been held and kept and restored and healed so you can continue to live a long life. Proverbs 14 and 26. Those who fear the Lord, the fear of the Lord is a life-giving fountain. It offers escape from the snares of death. Proverbs 14, 26 says, those who fear the Lord are secure, and He will be a refuge for their children. It's not just good enough for you, it's good for your children. Psalm 25, 12 to 14, it says, those who fear the Lord will be led in His ways, will dwell in prosperity, and friendship is reserved for those who fear the Lord. Friendship with God for those who fear the Lord. So, kind of what led me on this topic was over a couple of months ago now, I was struggling. I was really struggling. We'd moved into the house, and the new house, and I was thankful, and I felt blessed. But there were so many thoughts coming through my mind that were not blessing me, that were not good. And I was feeling weighted down, and I was feeling sad. And the Lord revealed to someone in the night to pray for me. And they spoke that word to me, melancholy. And I started to cry because I realized, yeah, that's been me. And I'm blessed and I'm thankful and God has provided. And I still feel sad. I just don't feel free. And so the Lord, sometimes, you know, like, I was walking past the bookshelf, and this book by John Bevere popped off the shelf, How to Break Intimidation. And I thought, okay. So I started reading that book, and he started to talk about the fear of the Lord. And then he started to talk about the fear of man and being intimidated. And I realized that I was being intimidated by a spirit of fear and a spirit of unbelief. And so as I began to open the Word of God, I just felt the Lord freeing my mind. Like, for instance, in the middle of the night, I would wake up, and these thoughts would start going through my mind. Oh, why did you move into this house? You should have just moved in town. Nobody will come to visit. It's just going to be too much travel. And you shouldn't have moved into this house. And over and over and over and over again in my mind. Every time I walked from the main floor to the upstairs, it's like, oh, you know, I got to go up these stairs. I'm getting too old for this. What am I going to do in 10 years climbing all these stairs? You know, it's going to bother my knees. Why did we do this? Why do we have this big house? And it was over and over and over and over in the night, in the day, and other things. You know, what are we going to do? How is the church going to go forward? How, you know, what am I going to do? I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I think I know what I should do, and probably everybody out there is saying what I should do too. And I'm just getting weighted down under all of this negative stuff and intimidation. And the Lord showed me, he said, Shannon, you've been putting up with this for about 2 months. And you haven't done anything to fight back. You haven't done anything to fight back. And so there's a scripture in Hebrews. Now, Wilma, you're probably going to, I've messed y'all up already. I'm way off my notes. But Hebrews 11 and 6 says that without faith, it's impossible to please God, for whoever comes to him must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that earnestly seek him. So why did I put up with it for 2 months? Was it because I didn't believe that God could set me free? Was it because I wasn't giving the Lord the place of glory and honor and reverence? That verse says that we have to believe he is. We all believe there's a God, right? That's why we're sitting in church today. We believe there's a God. But do we believe that he will reward us and bless us as we seek him? So this was the part I was missing. I really wasn't seeking him. I really wasn't seeking him. I was all caught up in my own thinking and my own stuff. So as I continued reading this book, John began to show some things about spirits. There is a spirit of fear that comes, and there's a story in Judges, and I'm not even gonna go there today. Maybe another time I'll share that. But there is a spirit of fear. How many of you have heard a report or heard something on the news, or someone said something to you and immediately you were fearful? How many of you have ever had that happen? Yeah, a lot. Ever wonder why it says in the Bible, every time that the Lord sent an angel to speak to somebody, first thing he ever said was, don't be afraid. And how many of us, that's our first reaction? We're afraid. We're afraid. Well, there's a reason why God says don't be afraid. Because if you let fear and the spirit attached to it control your life and harass you and lie to you and beat you down, then it opens up for a spirit of unbelief. Because unbelief is when we don't acknowledge that God is greater. When we don't call out to him because we don't realize just how great he is and what he can do. He can do the impossible. And we limit him because of our fears and because of our doubts. And that turns into a spirit where we really just don't believe it. Because if we did believe it, we would be calling out to him and we would be asking him for help. And the Lord showed me that, Shannon, many times you're just believing in yourself. You're just trying to do it yourself. You don't really believe that I can do it because you don't You're not reminding yourself of what I can do. We need to remind ourselves of what God can do. So he challenged me. He said, Shannon, do you really believe me? Do you really believe who I am, what I can do? And I had to honestly say at the time, well, I believe some things. I do. But there's other things I'm not believing. And many times in our lives, we stop believing because of circumstances that happen. And I've thought a lot about this church, and we're not to dwell on the past, but the past does affect the present. There is effect. And there's a story in Judges 6. I'm just going to highlight it for you. But it's about Gideon. Most of you are familiar with the story of Gideon. But in the land of Israel, in Judges chapter 2, they erected idols, and they were worshiping Baal. And God had said to them generations before, if you'll listen and obey my voice, then I'll be with you. But if you don't, then I'm going to let the enemy just have his way with you. And so they were defeated so many times. So in Judges 6, verse 1, the scripture says that the Israelites did evil in the Lord's sight. And I had to go back. I'm thinking, well, what did they do? You know, what did they do? So I went back to Judges 1, and Joshua had just led them into the promised land. But then by chapter 2, they did evil and they set up all these images of Baal. They disobeyed. They did not acknowledge the Lord. They abandoned him and they went after other gods. So then in chapter 3, they did evil because they forgot. They simply forgot about the Lord. And so they were oppressed for 20 years. So, chapter 1, it says the Israelites did evil in the Lord's sight. So what had happened? The Lord handed them over to the Midianites for 7 years. And they were so cruel, the Midianites were so cruel, and I want you to make a parallel. This is the enemy we're talking about in your life, same as the Midianites. And so they were so cruel that the Israelites had to run away and hide. They had to run in the mountains, in the caves, in the strongholds. The Israelites planted crops, did their work, and then the Midianites welcomed the Amalekites, and they all came and attacked them. They stripped everything on the land and destroyed everything. They even took all their animals. They took all their food. They left nothing. Then they camped there, and they stripped the land bare, so there was nothing left. And Israel was starving. Then I read this next verse. It's like, so they put up with this, probably for weeks and months and years. And then verse 6, it says, then they cried out to the Lord for help. And how many times am I so slow to cry out to the Lord for help? He was there the whole time. I was in a mess because of my stuff, my disobedience. But then I cried out to the Lord for help. So the Lord sent a prophet, and he said, I brought you out of slavery. I rescued you from the Egyptians and everything that oppressed you, and I gave you their land. I am the Lord your God. Fear not. You must not worship these other gods But you have not listened to me. You have not obeyed my voice. And so the spirit of unbelief because of this Baal in their land, this spirit of unbelief was tormenting them all the time. Where was God? Where was God when you lost that? Where was God when you were in need? Where was God when you were starving? Where was God in the middle of your situation? So there was doubt and fear. And as soon as we live in doubt and fear, then we're tormented. We're not going to have peace. We're not going to have peace. So the enemy comes in, and I've heard comments even about our church. We've lost all our young people. We've lost all our children. We're just a bunch of old people. How can anything happen here? How can anything happen here? And we get so intimidated and so discouraged. But God, he says, look back and see what I did in the past, and what I want to do in the future is even better than what was in the past. Sometimes it's like, I wish it was the way it was before. Do you really? Or do you want the new, the fresh thing that God wants to do in us? You know, I don't want to go back to listening to all that garbage in my mind. I want to listen to what God is saying now to me, to us, here, and what he wants to do. And that's his promise to us. He wants to bless us. So the Lord said to Gideon was hiding because from the enemy. And the Lord goes to Gideon. Now I'm going to jump ahead to verse 12. Wilma, if you can find that. The Lord sends an angel to Gideon. And Gideon's been walking past the idol, listening to the idol, intimidated by the idol and the enemies of the Lord for so long. And the Lord comes to him and goes, "Mighty hero, the Lord is with you." How many of you feel like a mighty hero? Anybody feel like a mighty hero? Gene, bless the Lord. Gene's a mighty hero. Awesome. You know, I've had the Lord say stuff like that to me through different ways. And it's just like, yeah, right. Sure. I didn't believe that. That's a hard one. Mighty hero. What had Gideon done? He was hiding. You know? The whole land is worshiping all this other stuff and intimidated, and he's hiding. It's like, forget it. I'm not a mighty hero. So Gideon starts asking questions. It's like, well, then, you know, like, why did you abandon us? And where were you when we were starving? And all these questions. It's like, now you've forsaken us. Don't we all come up with all the excuses why we can't be that mighty hero that God says we're going to be? Scares us. You know, the Lord says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Oh, I can't do that. I can't do that. How do I do that? I don't know enough scripture. It's like my husband talks sometimes about when he was growing up, he stuttered. And the Lord had to heal him of that. And you're going to be a preacher, you can't get up there and stutter. It's like, I got problems with my speech. I'm too shy. We come up with all these excuses why we can't be what God says we are. Yet at the same time, we're frustrated. I've been frustrated for a long time. And someone came to me again and spoke a word to me. That I don't know what it is you're asking the Lord for, but just keep asking. And I thought, I'm not really sure what I'm asking for either. Sometimes I don't even know. What do I need? What do I really need? But I certainly don't need that stuff going on in my head all the time. I need to believe. I need to honor, fear the Lord. I need to give Him praise because He deserves it, because He's so great. And that spirit of fear and that spirit of unbelief will prevent God from doing anything in my life. There was places that Jesus went, Matthew 13, 58. There were some places Jesus went, He couldn't even do miracles because of their unbelief. If you don't believe that God is and that He'll do something for you, He can't do anything. He can't. And unbelief prevents us from living in faith and the confidence in God and a boldness in Christ that He will work through us. It's not enough just to have God in us, blessing us here. He wants to flow through us out there. And I'm saying, Lord, I don't know what that looks like. And some part of me is not even willing, but I want to be willing. And would you empower me with your spirit? Would you come and help me? So the other kind of fear, can you go to that other slide, part two, is the fear of man. We have the fear of the enemy comes and intimidates us, but we also have another issue in our lives, is that fear of man. Just drawing my paper. I'm going to read right what's on the screen. So this type of fear brings alarm, anxiety, awe, dread, suspicion, and cowering to others. There's a spirit behind that fear. To stand in alarm, to be anxious, to dread, to be suspicious and cowering of others. Ask yourself some questions. Are you more comfortable around people or the presence of God? Are you more comfortable when you're in control? Are you more comfortable being manipulative, trying to get things your way? Are you more comfortable doing it on your own? Because those are all symptoms of the fear of man and pride. But the fear of God is when we ask for His Spirit to come and show us what's in our heart. I didn't really know what was in my heart until God came and showed me. The Lord wants to break off that spirit of fear, that spirit of intimidation, that spirit of unbelief in our hearts. And He wants us to say, okay, God, You show me. You show me what's really in my heart, so that I can overcome, and You will overcome by Your Spirit. In Hebrews 4 and 12, it says, the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. It discerns our thoughts and the motive of our heart. So God says, you come to me, you humble yourself before me, and I'll draw near to you. I'll come help you. If we live in intimidation and let the spirit of fear and the spirit of unbelief rule in our lives, we will be forever frustrated. We will be forever frustrated. And frustration, you have two choices when you're frustrated about something. You could give up. That's my way, usually. Any kind of problem or situation came in my life, it's like, get me out of here. I don't want to be here. I don't want to face this. I don't like this. Get me out of here. And I just want to give up. The other option we have when we're frustrated is a cry of desperation. It's like, God, help. Help. It's like Israel, you know, they went through all that stuff and finally they got to the place where they said, help, God, help me. And they chose right because it wasn't working the other way. So my sisters, Florence and Shirley and Dawn and Welda and I went to a ladies' conference over in the States two or three weeks ago now. And something happened to me. When you get desperate, and you call on God, He gives you a revelation of who He is. And that day, that Saturday at the ladies' retreat, my eyes were open to how great He was and how awesome He was, and that He was worthy to be praised, like we were doing this morning. Our God is so great. Doesn't matter anything here on earth. Doesn't matter what we face, what we go through. He is great. He is awesome. And what we have in Christ is freedom. Freedom from fear. Freedom from intimidation. We have everything that we need. We just need to say help and ask for help. So I got a revelation of how worthy Jesus was. And I've had a pain in the back of my neck ever since. Let me explain. Because I can't help it. I just want to go like this. I lift my hands and my head goes up. And my neck goes back, and when we went to the Holy Spirit conference, Ron and I, the worship, it was just like something new. It was like I was starting all over again with a revelation of who Jesus was and how great He was. And they were having prayer for different people, and one of the words of knowledge that was spoken was like, someone has a pain in the neck. So I put my hand up. I was like, do you know why I have a pain in the neck? Oh dear. It's either that I didn't sleep right on my pillow, or I got my head up and I'm just praising the Lord. So when we call on God, he reveals Himself. He shows Himself. He says, this is me. I want to show you what I'm like. I want to show you who I am. I want to show you what I can do for you. And then He begins to change us. He changes our heart. Transforms us. I don't know how He does that. I don't know. All I know is by His Spirit. So when the Lord said to Gideon, mighty hero, the Lord is with you. Gideon came up with five more excuses why he couldn't do it. Like, oh my goodness, come on, Gideon. It's so easy for us to say, oh, come on, Gideon, why didn't you just believe? Easy for us to say. But he wanted some confirmation. And then it was like, well, how are you going to do that? And when are you going to do that? I mean, I'm not very big here. I'm the weakest. I'm the smallest. And the Lord, once again, He's very patient with them. He's patient with us. And the Lord says, I will be with you. and you will destroy them. He commanded Gideon to go and tear down the idol. His father put it up. And there were consequences. They were going to kill him. But the Spirit of God overruled that spirit of unbelief because Gideon was willing to say, I'll do it. Okay, I'll do it. As long as you promise to be with me, I'll do it. I'll do it. He put a fleece, and that's a whole other part of the story. But God showed him. God showed that he would provide, he would deliver, he would do everything. So in our lives, we need the Holy Spirit. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to overcome the spirit of fear, to overcome a spirit of intimidation, to overcome a spirit of unbelief. And it all happens up here in your head. This is where it all goes around in your head. So now, how the Lord's been helping me is like when I have a thought, he'll say, I'll recognize it, that that's not a true thought. That's a lie. That's a lie. And so now I say, I submit to God. And I resist you, Satan. And I don't accept that because that's not true. And this is what God says. So he begins to show you and reveal to you when it's not right, when it's a lie, and you're able to deal with it. So in our lives, I'll tell you how it ends with Gideon. He pulled down the idols. His father stood up for him. It changed everything in the country. And then in verse 34 of Judges 6, I believe, Wilma. Then the Spirit of the Lord took possession of Gideon, and he blew a ram's horn as a call to arms, and the men of the clan of Abiezer came to him, and the Lord gave them victory. I thought of Pastor Ron blowing the horn. I don't think we realize the power of that. I don't think we realize the power of that. It's not just a call to worship. In this case, it was a call to arms. It's like, stand up and fight. Stand up and fight. You've been listening to the lies too long. You've been putting up with the intimidation too long. You haven't been fighting back. And we can't do it. I can't do it on my own. It's the Spirit of God in me. It's not just took possession of Gideon, not just on him, but in us. The Spirit of God is in us. Romans 11:20. It says, do not be haughty or proud, but fear. For if God did not spare disciplining Israel, he may not spare you either. He always disciplined Israel, and many times because of their choice, they abandoned God. He had to leave them to the enemy because they didn't listen to him. But consider the goodness of God. In Romans 2:4 said that God's goodness leads us to repentance. He's always drawing us to him, drawing us to his heart. We need to always remember the goodness of God because he loves us. And it's his perfect love that casts out every fear in our lives. The second part of it says, though, consider his severity, his sternness. He always disciplines us, and sometimes it's suffering. But it's to keep us from pride and all kinds of sin. Hebrews 10:26-31, basically, I'm going to just summarize it. It says, the fear of God and his judgments will keep us from sinning willfully. 2 Corinthians 7:1, I believe that's in the list, Wilma. So we have a responsibility, and this is one of them. 2 Corinthians 7:1. So let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness, King James says, or everything that defiles our body or our spirit. And let us work toward complete holiness because we fear the Lord. I think we take care of our bodies. We don't live sinfully. We take care of that we don't sin against the Lord. But sometimes we forget about our spirit. What's defiling our spirit? Unbelief? Fear? Those are the things that defile our spirit. But when we fear the Lord, when we worship Him, when we give Him reverence, when we acknowledge who He is and what He can do, we're cleansing our spirit. He cleanses us. He cleans us, cleans our spirit. And Hebrews 12:28 says, "Let us have grace or power by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear." I woke up one morning many years ago, and it was sort of towards the end of my 3 years of rebellion. And I abandoned what I knew was the right thing to do. I stopped tithing. I stopped praying. Most of the time I didn't go to church. My husband was the pastor, but I didn't want to listen to him. Or I'd volunteer in Sunday school to escape him because I didn't want to listen to his preaching. And I had a dream one night, and I don't really remember what the dream was, but when I woke up, the fear of God was in that room. And I knew that if I did not surrender to Him, much worse would befall me. Much worse would come upon me. I was already so tormented and miserable and doubting everything. And it was like God calling to me. He says, "You be careful. You be careful." I needed that godly fear and that reverence of Him. But His goodness, and His love, and His mercy is what drew me to Him. We have the power of the Holy Spirit available to live in us, not just come upon us. But we have the power of the Holy Spirit to live in us. And the Spirit of God wants to do some things. If we're willing. You have to be willing. You need to be willing. So maybe we could stand right now. I'm just going to say a prayer. Father, I ask by Your Holy Spirit right now for each person in this room that You would expose the lies we have been believing. Bring those right to our remembrance, Lord. Show us the lies we have been believing. Heavenly Father, by Your Holy Spirit, I ask that You would expose the spirit of unbelief in our hearts. Where we have believed that we're not worthy, or I can't do that, what will people say? If I say that, they're going to make fun of me. Holy Spirit, You just show us right now where we've lived in fear because of something that happened in the past in this church. You just show us, Holy Spirit. You just show us what's been hindering us. We want to fear you, Lord. We want to give you reverence and glory and honor and praise, because you are worthy. And what men say doesn't matter. It's you we serve. It's you we serve. Our hearts, we're frustrated. We're frustrated because we can't be free. We're not free. But today, in the name of Jesus, I break the spirit of fear over your people. I break that spirit of intimidation over your people today. In the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, would you come and cleanse our heart? You say, I don't have sin. I don't sin. Only God knows our heart. Our unbelief is sin. Our fear is sin. Cleanse our heart, God. Oh, cleanse us. Cleanse us. Cleanse our heart. We surrender our will to you, God. We surrender to you. I'm not even near doing that. I'm just starting to learn. Jesus, help me. Holy Spirit, help me to surrender. To surrender to you. It's not what my will. It's not what I want. It's not what I think it should be. It's you. It's you, Lord. Your will. Your will. Your way. And we, when we get to that place of surrender, it changes everything. It changes everything. The Spirit of God changes everything. I'd like all of us to come, or those who would like to come around the front. And we're just going to worship. There's a song I want Wilma to play on the CD about the Holy Spirit. And I'd just like us to just stand in His presence. Just think about what the Holy Spirit can do in our lives. And maybe times we can't even think about it. I can't even imagine. I don't know. I don't know how He does it. I don't know what He's going to do. That's why I go like this. Because I don't know, but He knows. So can we just all just gather around, just together as a body, just worship the Lord for a few minutes. Say, help, God. Just say, help. Holy Spirit, help me. Help me. Help me. Help me.
Behold the Father's heart, the mystery He lavishes on us. His deep cries out too deep. Oh, how desperately He wants us. The things of earth stand next to Him like a candle to the sun. Unfailing Father, what compares to His great love? Behold His holy Son, the Lion and the Lamb given to us. The Word became a man, and my soul should know its Savior. Forsaken.
people meet God. Salvation is in His blood. Jesus, Messiah, the righteous died for love.
Lead us home. We just heard a message. It is a language, a special language of the Spirit. And according to the Bible, there should be, ought to be an interpretation of what we just heard. It's something that happens every now and again that God desires just to speak to his people. It happened throughout the book of Acts. And if the Lord has given you the interpretation of what was just spoken in another language, please share it with us.
You will receive power. After that, the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. Thank you, Lord.
I felt that this morning I was going to sing it in closing, but I feel like we should speak it together. It's something that is called the Lord's Prayer as our closing. Let's pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you.